This is a problem. However, we at TI routinely do this cool our infrared mapping systems. And so, it, you know, it's not going to be something that goes for a dollar today. Certainly not.
I'm glad you were all here to witness that $10 radar that Texas Instrument promised. Question. What is your organization? Uh-huh.
There are detectors currently planned for production, but the development goes on, obviously. People talk about radar sensors for airbags. Generally today, they talk about them as arming circuits rather than actual detonation circuits. So impact is still the detector. Switch.
They're all, I think the answer to your question is they're all either G-switches or spring mass devices. There is some advanced development on predictive sensors, such as radar sensors, but as Wendell pointed out, a beer can looks bigger than a 15-inch tree, and you know what happens when you hit a beer can at 30 miles an hour, and what happens when you hit a tree at 30 miles an hour, 15-inch tree, that is.
I could add the problem with anything besides the simple switches when you put in some of the more exotic electronic switches. You still have to switch the power when you're all through, and you still need the contacts. And so you, no matter what you do, you decrease the reliability by adding components more than you had to start with. When we find a way around that, or someone will show it to us, we'll be happy to go farther with it.
Mr. Jatlow. The question was, do we have an estimate of the cost? And the answer was not at this time.
Yes.
Right at the back.
There's already electronics on General Motors cars. If you mean we're not committed to a specific advanced system, that's certainly true. Yes, that's the consideration of that is what led to the construction of the EMI chamber that I spoke of. We're very conscious of that problem. We are now instituting it.
The question was, it was addressed to the automotive industry. Has the automotive industry considered protecting the onboard electronic equipment from spurious EMI, from onboard transmitters and radio telephones and the like?
portions of General Motors are working with all of the manufacturers of onboard radio, attempting to ensure that once the radios are installed according to manufacturers' directions, there won't be crosstalk and interference. It's very difficult, as I'm sure you're aware, if somebody rigs his own set into a car to guarantee that result.
We also hope that the transmitter manufacturers are taking similar protective measures. The what? The heart bill, yes. The heart bill by its name was piloted by our beloved senator from Michigan, and his complaint was that the consumer is being, and I'm quoting him, bilked out of billions of dollars a year through inappropriate servicing on his automobiles at the service station. And he wanted to have a bill which not only controlled the repairability cost of the automobile at the time of design, in other words, some type of standard placed upon the vehicle manufacturer, and then build in some diagnostic equipment that would rapidly pinpoint the area that needed repairing. And he claims, I think it's something like $20 billion a year are being wasted by inappropriate servicing or ineffective servicing on our cars. If such a condition does exist, obviously that everyone should be for such a bill. And it would appear that the legislative action in terms of rulemaking may well come through the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, because the initial interest in the bill was for those items which are safety-related. We have the first part of that intent of that bill in the no damage 5 mile per hour front bumper and the 2.5 mile per hour rear bumper for 1974, and going to 5 mile an hour front and rear in the next year, 1975. Currently, the bill is in the House. It did pass the Senate by, I think it was 83-3, a very impressive vote. We will have a diagnostic conference in July 12th and 13th in San Francisco. And the purpose of the conference is to explore the extent to which diagnostics should be on the vehicle, and to the extent it should be off the vehicle. In other words, you just put wires on the vehicle and have all your intelligence in test equipment, or do you do everything on the vehicle? And one thing that Senator Hart has demanded, and we have this charge from the Congress, is that all the diagnostic systems, even down to the plug-in level of the test equipment, be 100% interchangeable. We don't think that is necessarily cost-effective, because it may constrain design. If one person has a digital design, another an analog design, or even a mechanical design, you would then need a lot of conversion equipment to make it appear similar and interchangeable for the test equipment manufacturer. The purpose of the conference, which is being sponsored by the Motor Vehicle Advisory Council, the Department of Transportation, is to explore just that question. What is the most intelligent approach? Relative to the timetable, I think Senator Hart would like to see something that's consistent with the introduction of emission control equipment, which really goes in 1975 and 1976.
Radar, that they are all on the same frequency, that they are One of the speakers said oxygen line, and there will be the essential solution of. I see that there is a real problem with the empty car, as the same speaker says, of the one way line.
The basic question is the car-to-car interference, particularly if each car has the same frequency, and I've got at least three people that could answer that question. Why don't we give it to Texas Instruments since they brought it up?
Give it to General Motors. Seriously, Trevor, I would like to give it to General Motors if I could.
We don't have an answer. We do recognize the problem. It's something is there are a number of techniques that are being looked at for isolation. Absorption is one of them. I suspect that the answer will come from a hybrid of techniques. Noise modulation looks helpful as well. But there are tremendous problems with implementation and processing if you go to that type of a modulation scheme, as you know.
Most schemes I've seen today seem to put hope in noise modulation techniques.
Well, Burton, General Electric, I would like to know more about the determination of speed by radar directed at the surface over which you're traveling, as you mentioned, in connection with the skid control, or the speed of the vehicle with compared to the speed of the vehicle. I don't know to whom I'm addressing this.
To me, I guess. The question was expand, if possible, on the use of radar for true vehicle speed measurement. And the techniques that we've looked at so far are generally derived from the aircraft industry, where they use radar ground speed indicators. They use a system which looks at the ground and takes a Doppler signal back from the ground, and the onboard automobile system would be the same. And then the comparison of that true velocity with wheel velocity will give you a reading of the wheel slip involved, whether it be in a braking or an acceleration mode, recognizing that some wheel slip is always necessary for traction. Did I answer the question, or what more did you need?
I have to do more research.
Well, the low speed indication, the question was, what about low speed and the problems with low Doppler frequencies? And while that's true, there is anomalous behavior at very low speeds, it's also true that we're not too concerned. Your own current mechanical speedometer isn't all that great up till about 5-10 miles an hour anyway.
What about smooth surface?
Smooth surface to what degree? If you use TI's 60 gigahertz, you actually get pretty decent return. Even at 35, I believe, Lucas has had good results.
Anybody any
comments
to make about the measurement of tire temperature and the
safety? I guess I get that one too. The question is, anybody any comments to make about the measurement of tire temperature? Yes, we would like to have a good way to measure tire temperature. What we do now really is assume that if we run the tire at the proper pressure, the temperature is under control, because usually the major contribution to overage temperatures in tires is a low under or overinflated condition causing the wrong kind of flexure. Measurement, as you're aware, even of the pressure is difficult. People have built systems that fit into the wheel and transmit tire pressure all the time. People have looked at IR approaches. People have actually looked at radar returns to check inflations, and we look at differential wheel speeds. But we do not have a good current solution. We'll be happy to accept anything you have in mind.
There may well be a safety standard, proposed safety standard, in this area. And the new program plan book that came out in October from the Department of Transportation addressed itself to this question. The question was, how does the 3-degree beam width, and I think he's referring to which one, the Lucas or the TI one? I think they were both 3-degree.
Both of them, I think.
One was 3 and one was 5, I think.
Yeah.
How does that help you in lane changes, or how does it hinder you, really?
It doesn't unless you move the radar antenna. It doesn't, because the radar is pointed right directly ahead. That would be my answer.
You mean from seeing objects on the side of the road when you...
You want to avoid hitting anything that's in your way. Presumably, if you're looking and processing the data that tells you what's going to be in front of you when you get there, that's what you have to do. The system, which only looks straight ahead, is essentially like carrying a long feeler on the front of your car. Anything that sweeps through the feeler, you can do something about. Any of these automotive solutions, incidentally, are far from absolute. You know, if we can improve the situation and reduce the number of collisions by 30 or 40%, you'd go a long way toward solving some of the fatality and injury problems. So we would prefer to evolve the point I tried to make earlier.
Were they mandatory, Murray Marcus, I'm with International Electronics, were they mandatory reflector, a radar reflector on the rear front of each car to be an approach where you can safely discriminate from, say, beer cans?
About radar systems,
maybe. So trees. And we have enough problems with our farmers without having them nail reflectors around their trees. One fundamental problem with coming up with an effective radar system on the automobile is the lack of correlation between the radar cross-section and the physical hazard which it represents. A 2-inch metal stand that holds a stop sign looks twice as big as a 15-inch tree. A person looks the same as a tree. We have no information on how it's attached to Mother Earth. And Dr. Grimes here has been working this problem with us for the last 2 years, and a breakthrough is required in this area before we can come up with a truly effective collision avoidance system, which is the right way to go in an automobile. Our present concept, and the gentleman from Canada mentioned airbags, which is a crash protection philosophy. It's in the wrong direction, a philosophy like that. But in the near term, it will have the biggest payoff because we don't have available technology in the collision avoidance side of it.
That's required in order to get the efficiency out of the laser diodes themselves. I didn't understand the first part of the question, though.
The first part was, can you use this for detecting...
We operate in the two infrared ranges. And this normally pertains to gaseous compounds that I related to. It would measure difference in concentration. Anything that would diffract or absorb the light at the laser frequency itself, whether it's a solid or rather, you know, liquid or a gaseous solution, yes, it would detect it if it's tuned to the proper wavelength.
Have you seen Hart Everly with Bunny Gas System? This is directed to Mr. Bertioli. Have you applied any of this engine monitor system to... stationary engines, for example, fuel control on large internal combustion
station engines? No, we haven't. We've confined it to small automotive engines so far.
Are there any other questions? If not, I'd like to thank speakers for the efforts they have gone to in preparing their papers in the presentation. and thank the audience, you might like to know that the session topped out with an attendance of 200 people, which we feel is very good for one of the first sessions on automotive electronics. Thank you.